I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we're very happy to welcome back to our studios today, Teague Alexi. Hi, Teague.
Hey, Christine.
Always fun to have you here. And you have a new project coming out today, right?
Yeah, today. Thanks for having me. New album, Circuit Sessions, out today, Duluth Record. And fitting to be here at KUMD the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have a local show set up quite yet. You got that in the works. You'll let us know.
Yeah, negotiations are ongoing.
But you are playing at the Hook and Ladder in Minneapolis coming up on Friday.
Right, yeah.
Well, why don't you get started with a song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the album. There are lots of fun stories behind it, including how Actual Wolf coerced you into it.
Right. This is called Sweet Salvation from the new album.
Way down in the valley, what's to worry about me? I got me some angels, cry the world a deep blue sea, deep blue. See, cry the world a deep blue sea. Now tell me what's to worry about me. It wasn't born before. Give me something I can use, sweet salvation. I only had her wearing my blues, wearing my blues. If I only had her wearing my blues, now that would be something I could use. So low, I woke up in the morning. Gospel music on the radio, on the radio. There was gospel music on the radio.
Teague Alexi, live from Studio A, and a tune from his new album, Circuit Sessions. Tell me about that one.
That's a very quiet version of what we did on the record. I should say Eric Pollard and Steve Garrington produced the record. So basically what they wanted to do was put a little bit more muscle into my sound, into my more kind of typical Americana or like swing thing that I do on acoustic guitar. They had a vision for taking a song like that and putting a whole band behind it, and just a whole lot more melodic ideas and streamline my stuff a little bit, because my last couple projects have been, you know, I wrote a new folklore book of rhyming folk tales, and that had 12-minute long songs to go with it, and really breaking a lot of rules of typical verse, chorus, bridge, chorus structure and songwriting. So these guys kind of bring me back to planet Earth a little bit, and making, you know, powerful little 3-minute songs out of these.
And so you have a a column that you do in the Budgeteer,
right,
called Wisecracks and Roadside Flats. Is that right? That's right. And you tell some of the stories from the album, and I love the story, as I mentioned, Actual Wolf, a.k.a. Eric Pollard, kind of came up to you and said, hey, dude, what's with this hippie stuff that you're doing? Let's do something different. Was he really kind of the impetus for you recording this album?
Yeah, he was.
And Eric is, you know, he's a great guy. We've had him in the studio many times, and a big personality, and he can get away with saying things that other people can't necessarily.
Yeah, and there's, you know, and we kind of made light of that remark. But yeah, there wasn't any bad intentions in that remark. It's just kind of making fun of our original conversation. But yeah, there's a lot, you know, a lot went into this record. It's a culmination of a lot of things and a lot of people. You know, even people that didn't play a note on the record, you know, influenced the record, you know, either by something they did or said a few months ago or years ago, you know. And yeah, the column has now become a podcast. And I feel like it's a really good way to tell, you know, because there's a whole lot more of a story than just that Eric and Steve, you know, produce the record and they play in Retribution Gospel Choir and Low, you know, that's all like press release kind of information, you know. And I wanted, when I was sitting down to work on telling people about this record a few months ago, I decided that I didn't have time to write a column and also promote this record. So I combined the two, you know, and I kind of did the self-indulgent thing of writing my column about the record. And then, but that was really good, you know, because it instead of being like press release stuff, it was really, you know, a real story from the studio of the record. And I feel like that gives a better background for the music and helps explain it better than just like the nuts and bolts facts of who produced it, who engineered it, where it was recorded. So yeah, the podcast is a good chance to kind of just tell the whole wide-ranging story of how it came together. And you know, it's and going back to like it being a Duluth record, like I feel like a lot of the things that went into this record have just been over the years playing in Duluth and kind of growing as a musician with Eric and Steve, growing as a musician, you know, with their bands, and us being influenced by everything around us, and then just kind of bringing it all together, you know. So very much a Duluth record in that regard.
For sure. Can we back up a minute? Because you did mention, you know, some of the storytelling that you were doing in the book that you did. And it was a little more experimental. You were combining, you know, some spoken word, and but all about storytelling, really.
Yeah.
And that kind of, as we're talking about your column and your podcast, I kind of feel like that's what it's all about for you, is the story, telling the story, and different ways of doing that. So tell me just briefly about those songs that you did that, you know, weren't the 3-minute, you know. Tell me about what your goal was with those and what Lab was about.
Yeah, well, with those, I wanted to, instead of kind of spoon-feeding the listener with that kind of structure where the chorus is like this basic idea and then you just kind of fill the verses in around the chorus, and it's really like spoon feeding the listener. You're telling, you know, directly, you know, you're saying, you know, baby, please come back or whatever, you know, that's the chorus, and just kind of say that over and over again. Whereas the moral of the stories I was telling would often even be completely unspoken, you know, so as a listener, it's more challenging. You have to listen to the whole story and you have to abandon, you know, crazy things are happening in the story to kind of purposefully make the listener abandon any preconceptions of time and place, you know, turn into like folktale land. And then all that's left is the heart and soul of the characters, you know, so then the moral of the story comes through, you know, better in that world, to me, in that kind of folktale, make-believe world, you know, but there's still the heart and soul of the character. So I wanted to work on that level, you know, and then it's like everything else I do, like I felt like that would make me a better storyteller, and really work on the wordsmith part of what I do. And then when I come back to this project, you know, more you know, thing of what I've always been doing, kind of playing guitar and singing with a band behind me, I've grown a lot from that experience of writing the folk tales. And that's how I kind of look at everything, like playing with the Hobo Nephews. It's really given me a great understanding of roots music and allowed me to play with all these great roots musicians. So I bring that back to this.
And that's your band with your brother, Ian?
Right, for those
who might not know.
Right. And you know, I feel like everything, I feel like this is a kind of record that everything comes together for, you know, whereas the last couple things I've done, like the storytelling, that's one specific thing. So I'm like pushing myself in that direction, and I'm not using a lot of the things that I've learned, you know, up until now. And, you know, I made a record called Action Slave. It was like a basement hip hop and beats record, you know, and that made me better at that's a part of this record too, but that was a very like individual thing, you know. So this record, I'm finally kind of bringing it all together and allowing myself to kind of do something a little more mainstream and not so out in left field.
Well, and you re-record a few of your songs. How many of these are ones that you've had before?
Two of them. When We Were Smoking, the Hobo Nephews record it, and on our album Number One Contender, and The Raggedy Hat of John Henry is on my last album, This Dance, and that just got nominated for an award. I just played Folks Award. The version that's on This Dance, but yeah, we tried a lot of things with Eric and Steve, and these were the ones we were most happy with.
And what was it like re-recording those and how did you take a different approach, especially when you've been performing them for a while? And so,
yeah,
you know, did they have a fresh way to approach it?
Absolutely. And that was my idea for the whole record was to allow them to change, to allow them to produce the album, you know, and turn myself just into the songwriter and singer and really let them play out their vision of why they came to me to make a record in the first place. So it's different. I'd never done that. You know, it's a little bit humbling at times, but I'm so glad for the experience of doing it.
And it really has a very rich arrangements. And so you have Eric and Steve and then Jake Hansen, who is a Twin Cities guitarist. I think he's worked with Haley Bonner.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm not sure who else, but
yeah,
he's
a lot of people. Tapes and yeah, he's a great session guy down there. Does a lot of things. And Jake Larson, I want to shout out to, local Duluth engineer. He played as big a part as anyone in the record. Just really his hands on the controls and his ears on the sound.
Mm-hmm. And so you did some of this at Sacred Heart, and then some of this at Jake's Clubhouse Studios,
yeah,
and then some with Eric Koskin.
Yeah, we went down to record When We Were Smoking with my man Eric Koskinen. We wanted to not only his studio, but also have him on second guitar with Jake. It's an American highway rock and roll song, and to have those two guitar players on it, those two electric guitar players on it, Jake Hansen and Eric Koskinen, was like, yeah, we should make that happen.
Well, let's hear another one. What do you want to do next?
I'm going to do No Easy Way, and I'll come back and do When We Were Smoking later. But this is called No Easy Way.
It ain't nothing but the hard times are hard. Times a hard time, not a little thing but a worried mind. They should have had it written on the road signs. This life, it ain't nothing like a long time. Thank you. and the locals in comfortable jeans. I'm working on things more important than our little old dreams. In this beautiful world, believe me, it's true. Ain't nothing but the low road, the low road, the low road. What's a little walk without a heavy load? I line my eyes on fool's gold. I continue on my way, kicking rocks down the road. As she counts her blessings real slow, real slow.
Galaxy live from Studio A with No Easy Way, another one from that new album, Circuit Sessions, that he did with Eric Pollard, Steve Garrington, and Jake Hansen. And he has a release show for that coming up this Friday in Minneapolis at Hook and Ladder. And to be determined, we will let you know when that happens, when one is scheduled up here in the Northland. But in the meantime, you can keep tabs on what Teague's up to. On Facebook, you can also go to TeagueAlexi.com and find out more about what he's up to and what he has going on with his other band, Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank. And Teague's going to be playing at Homegrown this year. It looks like Monday night show with Teague Alexi Band, and that's at 10 o'clock at the Rex Bar at Fickers. And you mentioned earlier you're also going to be playing with Eric Berry, and that looks like it's happening at Thirsty Pagan on Thursday. I think I got all that covered. That's not too far in the future. That was Homegrown. Always sneaks up on me.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. People are getting ready. There's a little buzz around town.
A little buzz. I wanted to mention, well, first of all, tell me what inspired that last song, No Easy Way. Anything in particular that you can talk about it?
Yeah, that song... you know, it's just, it's about, I feel like a lot of problems in this country are like, or a lot of like personal problems that we have are like mentality based, you know, or just like depending on what your situation is, depending on your mentality, you know, how much you're struggling, you know, because it's kind of like, just about embracing the struggle, you know, whatever your personal struggle is, and making it part of the you know, kind of like giving up yourself in light of the community, you know, and becoming part of the community's struggle, and just embracing that struggle as part of, you know, defining who you are. Because, you know, it wasn't, as I say in the other song, you know, it wasn't born to be easy. And yeah, just about that common thing. You know, I'd like to, you know, just hope, you know, just spread a little bit of hope. And sometimes it's to remind myself, you know, because we all kind of feel down sometimes, but, you know, just there's no easy way.
And if we're upset because we thought it would be easy, that maybe that's not the best mentality to have.
Yeah, that's right.
And also wanted to mention, there's a tune on here called Don't Go. When I heard it, I thought, yeah, oh, this kind of has a little reggae thing going on. Yeah. And then when you handed me the actual physical album, I noticed that Jake Larson does a dub version of it, yeah, at the end. So I was on track with that. And I know that Steve and Eric had, in Retribution Gospel Choir, they had been doing some, over the years, they've done a bunch of reggae stuff.
Yeah, the RGC dub. Yep. Project, yeah, and you know, that's kind of what I mean also with this album being a culmination of a lot of things. You know, like those guys had toured internationally with Retribution Gospel Choir, and I feel like there's, you know, that's in the record, you know, and RGC dub is in the record, and you know, just all our different projects and the influences around here, and living in Duluth, and then traveling and seeing the music world, and then returning to, you know, how the music works in those guys' cases overseas. In my case, as I've been traveling around the country, and then, you know, coming back and bringing it together.
Mm-hmm. And so when you play at Homegrown, who's going to be the band this year, the Tigalexi band?
That's a good question. I got Tyler Dubla on drums, Brian Wells on bass. Eric Pollard's going to be in town, so he's going to play. He does like kind of an electronic dubby drum, side drum kit, and sings backup vocals with me. Mark Gartman will be there on multiple instruments. And then beyond that, I have a feeling there's going to be a couple more.
All right.
Maybe a few more. Maybe I'll go big band, like small orchestra this year. But looking forward to that night. I know it's going to be a really good time. I want to make it a good time and bring in maybe a few more people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to say, so you got to do this album with these amazing players who are super busy people that you will hardly ever get to play with in this configuration. So what is that like? Like, how do you when you think going forward, how to bring these to life?
We played one show together, and it was back when we were recording the record, so it was a while ago, but I hope so. I'm envisioning it happening someday, but we couldn't time it with the record, you know. There's too much that needs to come together already, but I think that we'll do a Circus Sessions band show at some point, start working on, as soon as we get to Duluth release show in the books, we'll start working on that one.
Great. And when you're at Homegrown, are you going to be kind of approaching the arrangements to kind of match, what, or not match, but, you know, in the vein of that sort of more polished and...
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth between that and allowing whoever's playing with me, you know, to put themselves in, you know, to kind of like use that as a blueprint, but... You know, I like people to play like themselves, you know, when I play with them, because that's the reason that I like playing with them. So I don't want to ask, you know, the drummer to play like a different drummer, because I like the way that he plays drums. So it becomes kind of somewhere in between the band and the recording.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have time for one more. You said you were going to do, When We Were Smoking.
Yeah, and When We Were Smoking.
And you wrote a little bit about this. You want to talk about it?
Because this is my last column. I just had the memory recently, because I grew up in New Jersey, and I was born in San Francisco. So as a kid, I knew from a young age that I was going to go back to California, because it was just, you know, I was some of my relatives called me the California Kid, and so I was just thinking about this one Christmas. I can remember my Uncle Frank, the famous Uncle Frank. He was the wanderer of my family, the generation before mine, and he was out in California. I can remember him calling home on Christmas, and like, they passed the phone around to all the relatives in the house, and they passed it to me. I was just a little kid, and I didn't really have anything to say, and I couldn't hear him anyway because my family's really loud. But I knew at that time that I was going to be on the lonely end of that Christmas call, you know, someday. Even as a little kid, I knew that, and I remember that. I remember that feeling, you know, because Uncle Frank sounded so happy, but I knew it must have been lonely, you know, wherever he was, if it was anywhere outside, you know, that Germantown, Philadelphia neighborhood, that he had to be bummed out being away from the family. So, yeah, so that was my memory. So I've always been kind of a highway traveler. But even before I played music, I loved just getting in the car and finding any excuse to drive halfway across the country for something or other, and then being a touring musician has played into that. So after all these miles, I thought, you know, I should write a highway song. You know, I've deserved it with all these miles. I gotta add up to something, right?
This old beaten down road wouldn't trade it for solid gold, old car. A desperate man at the control, chasing a long lost soul, old car. Spinning wheels, rolling hills, burning rubber, blowing steam. Back and forth, up and down the great highways of Queen, we were smoking. I missed a couple of exits, back and forth through Texas, never bothered me none. And I banged the steering wheel for that good rock and roll, and every stupid thing that I have done. I passed a couple speed traps, my pedal to the floor, and I'm not allowed to drive in Illinois anymore. But when we were smoking, good and bad decisions, behind those headlights always felt like home. And if you want to know the truth, well, I drive a little faster when we're all alone. And that late night, we went spinning out of control, and laid softly to rest by the side of the road. We were smoking. It's rush hour now, take you clear across town, nothing but the back streets. You may think that I'm crazy, but I slept like a baby many a night in the back seat. I've taken new and old friends, long and short drives on the 61, the 101, and the I-95. And we were smoking.
Galaxy live from Studio A, another one from that new album Circuit Sessions that is out today. I want to ask you about one more tune on there, Boardwalk Anthem, because that has a Jersey connection for you, which you're from Jersey, And it's a great story of playing in the club where, was it Levon Helm? Is that who had played there?
Yeah, there's a famous club called Tony Mart's in the town I grew up in, Summers Point, but it was defunct by the time me and my band came around. But yeah, it's in Levon Helm's book, he says that that's the place. And I think it's in Robbie Robertson's new book, too. I've heard. I haven't read it, but that's the place that they had a summer-long gig in Summers Point, and that's where they were playing when they got the call to come be Bob Dylan's band, to move to Woodstock. That's where they were playing.
Nice.
So it's a famous club, but it was always it's a cover band area where I grew up because it's a tourist area and it's right near Atlantic City and just caters to tourists. You know, that's what all the clubs do, and that's just the history of the area. So that song is somewhat about, it's about the history, but it's also about kind of fighting through that cover band mentality, which didn't fit me and my friends very well, and so we had to fight through that. That's kind of what the song is about.
And people can read more about it in your Wisecracks and Roadside Flats column, right?
Yep, and listen to the podcast. It's on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play. It's easy to find.
Well, thank you so much, Teague. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks,
to have
Christine.
You here.
Thanks for having me. I always appreciate you guys.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.